Thank you, Forever Blue Shirts. I am Jim Cerny, much more importantly, joined right now by Colton Orr, former New York Rangers forward and current assistant coach with PWHL New York. Colton, thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to catching up. It's been a while, Jim.
It's been a while. My first season working for the New York Rangers as the in-house reporter for the team website was your final season with the New York Rangers. And I tell this story all the time, and I'll tell it quickly. I know you get a kick out of it. But when you left that season, that offseason, signed with Toronto, I was doing an offseason chat on the team website. And there was just this one guy blowing me up that it's my fault Colton Orr's not with the team ever. We're not going to be the same. We lost Colton Orr. What are you doing, man? I hate you. So because of you, there's this one guy running around New York, probably to this day, that despises me because he couldn't get to Glenn Sather for not re-signing you. It was my fault that you skipped town and went to Toronto. So I just want you to know that for however long we live on this earth, you owe me one, man.
Yeah, I got you. Well, if we ever see him, we'll let him know it wasn't your fault, but yeah, pretty funny. It was a tough to leave. I always love playing in New York and call New York my home now. So it's good to be back.
You had your NHL experience. We'll start there before we talk about, your current role. You get to play in three pretty cool markets, three original six markets, a little bit in Boston, then obviously on Broadway and finished up there in Toronto. So I'll put you on the spot, and just because this is a Ranger podcast, you don't have to say New York, but which one of the three was kind of most near and dear to your heart during your career?
Yeah, well, like you said, played in three great organizations, three great markets, three original six teams, and it was special. Obviously, they each have kind of their special reasons to me and why I enjoyed playing with them. Boston gave me my start to my career, so I have to be thankful for get that opportunity and having a name like Orr going into Boston was something special, and him and his group being my agency was awesome. So always having his support, so enjoyed my time there, and then just obviously in playing in New York and playing in MSG and the history in that building, and meeting my wife here and having my family here and all that kind of stuff. So New York is just, it's special. It's home to me. The Rangers are just an unbelievable organization, and the work I do with them now with the alumni and being around the team and things like that, it's special. So like I said, love being part of the alumni and the group there and doing all the stuff thing and living in New York. So definitely special to be here.
Your first NHL goal came with the Rangers. I admit, I knew your first goal came with the Rangers. I didn't remember it. I had to go back, go through the archives. I found a video of it. Tell me what you remember about that first goal. It was actually, when you talk about, sometimes you get a cheapie for your first goal and you say, boy, you build it up. Boy, that was a great goal. You make it better than it was. Your first goal is actually pretty slick.
Is it the Tampa one?
The Tampa one.
Yeah, I remember that. So it's like a fake forehand to the backhand, kind of sneak it in there. So yeah, definitely was fun. Long time due to get that one. Took me a few games, but was special. And to get the blue shirts was awesome. So yeah, pretty good moment.
So many guys over the years that have played for the Rangers that say, obviously, and you touch on it, playing at the Garden is such a special thing, and that. Sometimes there's a moment when you play for the Rangers that's kind of like your garden moment. Steve Alliquett says that all the time. Man, every player should get a garden moment. Was there a moment for you that stands out more than any other where you said, yeah, I'm a Ranger, the Garden faithful here, they love me, whether it was a fight or a hit or the goal. Was there your first Ranger moment you'll always remember?
Yeah, and it's one that gets brought up all the time. It's obviously against the Philadelphia Flyers, and obviously you never want to see anyone get hurt. But the job we did and the role we played, it happens once in a while. But I remember Todd Fedoric coming in, and that was actually the prior game that we played Philly. I was a healthy scratch, and he was running around taking advantage of the team, going up to Yager and everyone, and trying to play dirty and get the team up their game. And I just remember knowing that if I get my opportunity against the Flyers the next chance, I'll make sure that I make an example and say, hey, that's not going to happen anymore. So sure enough, Flyers come the next few weeks later to the Garden, and I knew I had to, you know, kind of go out there and take care of business and do my role and what I had to do. And I remember just trying to look for Todd Fedorov right off the bat. And obviously it was a fight. It was toe to toe, and he ended up going down. But it was one of those moments where you kind of took care of business. The fans were going crazy, and they still bring up that story to this day. And it kind of just made a bit of a name for myself, and hey, like, don't mess with this team. Don't mess with the Rangers. Don't mess with the War. Cause they're going to make sure that you come in the Garden. It's going to be a hard night. And I remember that, just being that moment where that kind of solidified my kind of me being an NHLer and someone to watch out for. And, again, it's a story that comes up from a lot of Ranger fans to this day. They want to talk about, you know, going against the Flyers and kind of rivalry that was. And, so that was a moment that I think that it really kind of stands out in my career.
You were going to never back down from anybody in the game. So I'm curious, and it could be a teammate or an opponent, who is the toughest player? Not necessarily fighter, but it could be a fighter. Who's the toughest player you ever saw during your time in the NHL?
Yeah, so just Zdeno Chara. So never fought him, played against him my whole career, and he was just a specimen. He played physical, he played hard. He kind of wanted to hurt you within the game, and obviously he didn't want to mess with someone with like his size, and then he was a guy that wouldn't fight much, but when he did, he was angry and you didn't want to mess with him. And he was one of the guys that kind of just really just made me a little bit uneasy. Obviously I never had the opportunity to fight him, and just one of those ones I'm happy I didn't, because just his pure size and strength and how big he was, you know, I don't know how I would have fared. And so he's one of those, I just had so much respect for him as a leader, as an athlete, the way he trained, the way he played, the respect that he had for his opponents. And so yeah, he was one of those guys. You knew who was on the ice, and you made sure you take a look, and you know, it could hurt you by either hitting you or fighting you or body checking. You know, you gotta watch out for that 100-mile-an-hour slap shot that he had too, because that one might get you as well. So he was just a great opponent, great player, great person.
Just got to fight.
Pardon me?
Toughest guy to fight.
I guess I always had trouble in Ranger fans with Donald Brashear. He was a guy that just big lefty, strong, good size, and just always seemed to have the better of me. So he was always a guy I had to be ready for, and I knew he was coming. So he was a tough one.
I remember you came back to the Garden with Toronto, and you and Brash, I mean, you guys went toe-to-toe several times during your career. But I remember that specifically. Here comes Cole Knorr all of a sudden switching from the white hat to the black hat, leaving the Rangers, coming back to the Garden, and you and Brash threw down at the Garden there.
Yeah, it's definitely no coming back in, and just wanted to be back and playing at MSG, and you know, obviously it was good to be back and still had a lot of support of the fans in that. And, so, you know, was going to go after him, and yeah, I had that one with him, so I definitely remember that one.
So, you know, I know you're busy with your job, of course, you know, assistant coach with PWHL New York. I wonder how familiar you are with the phenomenon that's going on in Broadway right now, Rempy Mania running through the NHL, the Rangers, and the kid, and the adjustment period that he's going through, going from the stage fights to, you know, he's being challenged pretty much every time he's out on the ice. Had the four-game suspension as well, you know, with the elbow against the Devils. Just wondering how much you've been able to see of him, follow him, and just what your early impressions are of Matt Rempy adjusting here to the NHL and taking New York by storm.
Yeah, it's been a great story. My first kind of getting to see Matt Rempy was at the Stadium Series. I was with my little son at the game, and just, you know, watching Rempy go up against Matt Martin on that big stage like that, I think really kind of, you know, like I said, stormed onto the big stage in New York with a splash. And, you know, he's definitely making a name for himself. He's big, he's strong, he can hit. You know, definitely got to be a little bit careful because of his size and how big he is, that, you know, making sure that he's, you know, his point of contact is in the right spot. But, you know, he's young and he's going to learn. And, you know, he's definitely a special player that I think that could, you know, New York fans and Blue Shirt fans will definitely embrace.
So it seems to be, and listen, everybody loves an Artemi Panarin, you know, a great finesse player and just an amazing talent, just using him as an example. Of course, Ranger fans embrace a guy like that, but they really love the blue-collar, hardworking guys, yourself, you know, the relationship you to this day have with the fans and that Rempe's building as well. Do you feel that as well? Did you know that as an opposing player coming in? And did you learn it even more once you came to New York?
Yeah, you know, like I said, just the support you get from fans. Like you said, it's always the goal scorer and then usually the top guy that comes right behind it. They love that style of hockey. They don't, they're their team, they're a city that doesn't want to be pushed around. So they always want someone, I think, there to know that, hey, we won't be pushed around. We have that kind of toughness in the lineup. And he fits that role completely because he's intimidating just by his sheer size and then just the way he can play and hit and be physical. I think is important, right? Because the game today is not just about fighting. It's about being able to kind of play a physical game, be tough, be hard to play against, be on the forecheck and things like that. So, you know, he's got to be able to find his kind of rhythm in that as well. And I think that'll help him really make a name for himself.
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Chris Simon this week, who passed away far too early at the age of 52. Certainly somebody that you had your battles with, you know, over the years. First, your thoughts, your memories, you know, about Chris, but also part two of that is his family's concern about CTE. And, you know, we know the history with Derek Boogaard and Rick Grippen, and, you know, we could go down a whole list. I guess your thoughts on that broader issue as well.
Yeah, first, just, thoughts and prayers to the family, and can't imagine how hard that could be. And just, it's just too young, too early, and especially to someone, a fellow athlete that, you know, played a similar role and those kind of things. And you just want to see the best for people after their career and just in their mental health and their life and things like that. So it's just it's an unfortunate situation and just definitely feeling for the family right now and everyone around them.
Yeah. Switching and kind of a perfect segue here, you know, talking about, you know, toughness and physicality and all that. One of the things that's really jumped out to me about the play in the PWHL is the physicality of the game. These women are getting after it. And it's not just, you know, I expected high level, intense games, but it's much more physical than I thought it was going to be. I guess you now having coached in a couple different leagues in women's pro hockey, there seems to be a little bit more that's being allowed in the game these days within the rules. I guess your thoughts about the physicality of the women's game and where do you think it'll end up going? That aspect of it will end up going.
Yeah, it's a fast game. It's physical. I think it's if you watch within the game, it's more about using the physicality as a tool to get the puck back. There's no like finishing your checks in this game. You know, it's all within trying to separate the player from the puck and use it to your advantage to get the puck and have possession and things like that. And these are just tremendous athletes, the way they compete, the way they play. So they definitely have the physicality and the size and the strength to be able to kind of have that, you know, kind of body contact that they're using now. And you just see team being used a lot more, and it's being called, I think, within the game, which I think is good. So there's definitely a little bit more clear kind of way the refs see it and the way they call it. So it's definitely a little play and be able to allow that kind of physicality within. And the players are definitely a bit of adjustment, but they're definitely using it, and it's definitely come a long way. And just like I said, it's only going to get more physical. But yeah, it's definitely fun to watch and to go along with that speed and skill out there. It's a great game.
Yeah, we almost saw our first PWHL fight Wednesday night in Bridgeport. Jamie Bourbonnais, I believe, was boarded from behind, and out of nowhere, like shot out of a cannon, comes Jill Saulnier jumping on the offender's back. And I mean, they quickly got separated, but you're probably that close to your first PWHL fight there.
Yeah, well, just stand up for your teammates, right? You know, play like that, obviously a little bit dirty, so you want to make sure you stick together. I think that's, you know, you just have to see your players kind of stand up for each other and stand up and be there for us. You know, wouldn't want to see any kind of physicality or fights in this, and glad it was broken up quickly. But definitely like the response of, you know, let's stick together and make sure we support each other.
Yeah. What, from a coaching point of view here, and having played obviously with men throughout your career and at the highest level of professional hockey, what is the biggest difference in dealing with personalities and the players on the women's side compared to building those relationships with men, you know, on the men's side? Because I found, just as a reporter, I found the women to be so open, a little bit different, not as closed as your typical, you know, NHL player. Not saying that there isn't personality, but I think you know what I mean. It seemed to be much more open and a different type of camaraderie, a different, just different type of relationship, give and take between themselves with the media and all. So I just wonder from a coaching point of view, what you've seen, kind of the differences between the women and the men dealing with them.
Well, what I think it's great to see right now is you're really getting to know the personality of players. They are being open. I think sometimes as being a pro athlete in the NHL, it was always kind of not give a lot of information, always want to kind of save that kind of stuff. And I think what you're seeing is, you know, you want to get to know the player, you want to get to know the organization, you want to know kind of a little bit more inside information. So I think we're giving that access is available. Within this league, you're definitely going to see more of that player's personality and how they are. And, you know, when it comes to just the coaching, the athlete and the player, to me, it's that much difference. I think there is some really good communication, like I said, that you spoke about, that you do have those kind of open lines of communication with the player, and they want to know kind of how and why and those kind of things. So you're definitely very more open to just those conversations and be able to teach the athlete and things like that. But to me, it's always, I'm just coaching hockey players. Yeah, definitely enjoy this kind of the way the league's going and how they're kind of giving that kind of access to be able to kind of know these athletes, see them in their daily lives and things like that. I think it's great for the fans.
I had a long conversation with Madison Packer, who's a longtime veteran, you know, pro women's hockey player. And kind of the bittersweet, if that's the right word, feeling about the ending of the PHF and then the creation of the PWHL and how that league kind of got swallowed up. Some of the players made it into the PWHL, but it was almost a bittersweet type thing. You coached there, you coached Connecticut, there was the head coach there. Just kind of your thoughts. Obviously, the game's moving forward. You have the best players in the world now in one league. But knowing that to get here, some got left behind as well. Just kind of your thoughts about that.
Yeah, definitely was a tough situation. You know, the way we were operating in the league with the PHF at the time, we were operating under, we were going to have a season and we had players signed and things were looking, you know, to get ready and we're just moving forward that way. So to just upon that news was definitely a tough kind of thing to, you know, take at the moment and go through. But I think if you look overall and the way the league is going and you know, what we need as one. I think that's what you're kind of looking for, that one league, all the top players, the best players playing at the league. So, you know, it's definitely tough to be done, but, you know, if we keep going here and it keeps, you know, getting to where it needs to be, you know, it's always going to be tough to how it was done. But again, in the end, we want one league. And I think that's where you're seeing that kind of talent, the exposure and everything, the way it's building the attendance around the league right now. And just the things that are happening, it's special to kind of see it get to where we are right now and hopefully just continue to grow further than that.
For somebody who's seen, you know, who's been in, you know, let's face it, in the PHF, you played in some pretty small arenas and, you know, some of the women were working two jobs, you know, along with just to afford the opportunity to play and all that. To turn on the TV and to walk into the arenas as a coach and everything and see all these fans, you know, they're filling NHL arenas. You know, Minnesota, that was incredible. You know, and that was the first, you know, week or two of the season. Just kind of your thoughts about that. Is there a surprise about the amazing support that this has had? Or is it, as a lot of women have told me, hey, it's just about time?
Yeah, no, I think it's been great. It's been, you know, I think this is what we were looking for. I think this is the exciting part of it, like going to those buildings and playing in front of fans like that, in front of Minnesota. That's what everyone wanted. So we just wanted to continue to grow on that, continue to allow this league to thrive, allow the players to grow as athletes. It's amazing. just to watch, you know, what and housing and all that kind of stuff. So now they don't have to have that second job. They can really focus on this being their primary, you know, work and being able to kind of focus on their professional career of being an athlete and being a hockey player and in the off season be able to kind of train for that. So you're only going to see this get better as they're able to focus on this and this be their kind of main focus. These athletes only get better and become better hockey players.
I know one for you, and we appreciate all the time that you shared with us today, Colton. Taking back to your Ranger days, you were there at the beginning of, you know, we talked about Rempe mania. Well, what about the Kings mania, Henrik Lundqvist? You were kind of there, you know, through his first several seasons on Broadway. You know, now number 30 is up in the rafters. Henrik is deservedly in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I know you were still a younger, you know, young player yourself, establishing yourself. What did you see when Henrik first came to Broadway? What made you say, oh, this guy, he may not just be a good goalie. He might be something a little extra here.
Yeah, it's just, he was just a competitor. And the guy was just good at everything. You know, like just from like athlete to musician to just the way he prepared and just the professional about him. You just knew there's something about him. He knew like once he got in that net, that we had a wall back there and he was gonna do whatever to take this off the puck. And he was just a good teammate. Someone that kind of, you know, was professional all the way he prepared, like I just said, things like that. So he's just someone fun to be, watch him grow as a player from a rookie and watch him go through his career. Just an absolute amazing, just to see, you know, what he can accomplish and then what he's able to do in his career. So it's just an awesome teammate and just an amazing athlete.
Awesome stuff. He is Colton Orr, former New York Rangers forward, also Bruins and Maple Leafs, current assistant coach with PWHL New York. Good luck the rest of the season. I know you got a fight ahead of you, a little steep hill to get back in the playoff chase, but we'll see you all Monday night at UBS.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it.